I invite you to open your Bible this morning or your app to Romans chapter 5, and I want us to look this morning at the first five verses. Romans chapter 5, and I want us to read and consider for a few moments verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." A woman wrote about shopping in a Christian bookstore. As she browsed around, she came to an aisle that was marked clearance. There was a sign on the end of the aisle that said the items down that clearance aisle were used or they were damaged in some way, and she decided to walk down and browse through that group of items. She came to a little figurine, and there was a pedestal with a bride and a groom on top of it. They were holding hands, and they were leaned in close together. And there was a little sticky note on the pedestal that described the reason that the item was on clearance. The sticky note said, "Husband and wife coming unglued." I think a lot of us out there can identify with that right now. We're facing so much stress that maybe we feel like we're coming unglued. We were already living in what sociologists call the age of anxiety. And then along comes COVID-19, a global pandemic. And now we worry about our health. We worry about sickness and death. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about the economy. We worry about getting laid off or losing our job. We worry about all the political wranglings going on about how to reopen the economy and when to do that. And on and on and on it goes. Maybe this morning you are out there feeling all stressed up and don't know where to go. If that is the case, I want you to stay tuned for these next few moments, because the Bible tells us the solution to stress. The Bible tells us that stress is inevitable, but distress is optional. And the Bible, including our text here in Romans chapter 5, tells us that it is possible to face the inevitable stresses in life without allowing ourselves to feel distress. When Paul here talks about suffering in verse 3, the Greek word is thripsis, and what it means is pressure. Suffering here in verse 3 is pressure that life puts on us that causes us to feel stress, and if we don't watch it, distress. And Paul tells us how to deal with that stress that suffering causes right here in these verses. Let's notice this morning how to have stress without distress. There are four, I think, key points that Paul makes here, and let's look at them one by one. Number one, acknowledge the presence of stress. Now, Paul talks in the first couple of verses about all the benefits that we have as believers. He talks about being justified. He talks about grace. He talks about peace. But Paul has been at this ministry thing long enough that he knows that some people may misinterpret what he is saying. Some people may hear those words, oh, grace, peace, justification, and they may think that Paul is saying that Christians have a trouble-free, stress-free life. Some people believe that. Some people are preaching that right now on television, and you could find them if you looked. I saw the other day a televangelist, and he was strutting across the stage, and he was saying, I cannot get sick because I'm walking in health. I cannot get poor because I am walking in wealth. And boy, the audience was eating that up. And that philosophy, that theology sounds great as a Christian until you get sick or until you get poor. And if your faith is tied up with that, then your faith is going to be damaged or even destroyed when hard times hit. Paul doesn't want to be misinterpreted that way. Paul knows that others might hear him talking about peace and grace and justification and say, oh, Paul, I've been around long enough to know that Christians suffer just like everybody else. Paul, you are naive and you are unrealistic. You're a dreamer with all this pie in the sky by and by stuff. Christians have problems. And so Paul, in verses 3 and following, goes on the offensive. Before he can be misinterpreted, he says, hey, I know. Christians have pressure. Christians have stress. Christians have difficulty, but that does not contradict what I said about peace and grace and justification. It's not either or. It's both and. Christians can have peace and grace and justification and still have stress in our lives. And so, Christians are going to face stresses. We're going to face loneliness. We're going to face sorrow. We're going to face sickness. We're going to face poverty, perhaps. We're going to face rejection and ridicule and unpopularity, and on and on and on it goes. And Paul knows this. I read someone who said recently, I am so stressed, I am so full of stress, that if something bad happens today, it will be at least 3 weeks until I can start stressing about it. And Paul says, yeah, I understand that. And I acknowledge that stress is present in our lives. That's the first step. Number two, how are we going to have stress without distress? We're going to alter our perspective on stress. Alter your perspective of stress. Paul says in verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings. Remember, that word is pressure. We rejoice when life puts the squeeze on us. We rejoice. Now, folks, when it comes to stress, we have a choice. We can accept the world's perspective, or we can accept and believe the Word's perspective. Now, you know what the world says about stress, don't you? Stress is bad. Stress will harm you. Stress will kill you. The media tells us that. Many in the medical profession will tell us that. If you Google stress, you'll find that stress is related to the 6 leading causes of death. You'll find that stress is involved somehow in 70 to 90% of visits to doctor's offices. You'll find that stress is harmful to the organs of our body, kind of like sand into a machinery is stress into our body. Just Google it. You'll hear all of that. And then when we find out how harmful stress is, we start stressing about our stressing, don't we? When I say, I'll save that for later. Let's move to the world's perspective, or the Word's perspective, rather. Now, the world says stress is bad, stress is harmful, stress will kill you. But what does the Word say? Look at verse 3. Rejoice in our sufferings. The world says suffering is bad, but Paul says, nope, we can rejoice when we are stressed because stress can produce positive results. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now you think about that for a second. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what Paul is going to say is the way you think about stress is the way it will be in your life. And you know, here is another one of those cases where science is starting to catch up with what the Word of God has been saying for, in some cases, thousands of years. There's a Psychology Today article that I read recently. Dr. Heidi Grant Halverson, a stress expert, wrote an article that had this as its title, How You Can Benefit from Your Stress. The subtitle of the article is this, What if assuming stress is bad is what's making it so bad for us? Now, to link the article, let me read you just a section, and this is a quote. Here, Dr. Halverson summarizes the recent research from the field of psychology concerning stress. Here's what she says, quote, Taken together, all of this research paints a very clear picture. Stress is killing you because you believe that it is. If you can come to see that difficulties and challenges you face are opportunities to learn and grow rather than your daily unhealthy grind, then you can really be happier, healthier, and more effective. Maybe you don't need less stress. Maybe you just need to think about your stress a little bit differently. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you believe that stress is bad, then it is. But if you look at stress as just part of life, and in fact, something that has benefit in your life, then that is exactly the end result of the stress. And so we change our perspective on stress. We don't take the world's perspective that everything's terrible and everything's awful and stress is going to kill you. We take the Word's perspective. Stress can be beneficial and it can be helpful. We're going to alter the perspective of our stress. Number three, we're going to allow the progress of stress. When we have pressure in our lives, like most of us have right now, God wants us to get to work, and He's going to get to work, and He's going to lead us through a process of growth. And Paul talks about that process in verses 3 and 4. He says in verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And then perseverance progresses to character. And then character progresses to hope. Do you see the progression there? So when we are stressed, what we're going to focus on is perseverance. Perseverance means to remain under. And so while we are under this pressure, this squeeze of life, we are going to remain constant and firm in our faith and in our action, no matter what. When we're stressed during this time of isolation, we're just going to do whatever's in front of us. We're going to live by faith and just take the next step. And sometimes the greatest way that we can demonstrate our faith is just taking the next step. Just taking care of the people that God has put in our lives, our immediate family. Just taking care of our little place that God has given us, our home and our yard and our environment. Sometimes that's the greatest faith that we can have, is just doing something as simple as that. And we hold on to our faith in the midst of the pressure. Someone has said a diamond is just a lump of coal that outlasted the pressure put on it. And so we just simply outlast the pressure that we're facing in these anxious days. And then if we persevere, notice that the next step in the progression is character. Perseverance produces character. Character is the quality of having stood the test. And so we persevere, we stand the test, we survive the stress, we move on beyond it. The Bible says we've developed character. We're now battle tested. We're now veterans instead of rookies and novices. And now we have an extra strength that we didn't have before. I started preaching, or at least delivering sermons, when I was, I guess, 18 years old or so. And I could give a nice little talk. but I'd never been battle tested. I grew up in a good family, and they loved me, and they took care of me. I was a good student. I stayed out of trouble. I made good grades. Voted best all around in my senior class. Got a baseball scholarship to Freed Hardeman. Never really had any stress significantly in my life. And I could give a nice little talk, but it never moved anybody because it was so shallow. And then stress came. Life put some pressure on me, and I had to hang in there and grow through that pressure. And all of a sudden, I became a more effective minister because I now had some character, because God had built it in my life. God had stressed me, and I had held on, nothing great, but I held on at least to my faith, and I came out stronger and a more effective minister because of it. And then the third step in the progression, we persevere, we remain under the stress. Once we've survived, we get character, and then character builds hope. That's the latter part of verse 4. And verse 5 said that this hope that is built by stress does not disappoint us. And so we meet hard times with perseverance. Those hard times pass, and now we're stronger, we're battle tested, we have more character. And that character produces hope. We look back on the test and we're reminded that God kept his promises. God says that he will never leave us and forsake us. And I look back and say, you know what? He didn't leave me. He was always there. God says, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. And I look back and I say, you know what? It felt like a lot. I felt like God was trusting me too much, but it wasn't too much because I did bear it and I survived. And God says, I'm going to take everything, even the stresses and strains, and I'm going to work them for good. And I look back on my life and I see that God was there working it for good. And I can see the good now. And then all of that knowledge, realizing God really was there and he really didn't put too much on me. And he really did work that stress for good. And now that gives me confidence moving forward that he can do it again. He did it before. Why couldn't he do it again? And he will. And so I have hope. That's step number 3, allow the progress of stress. And then finally, number 4, anchor to the people of stress. Anchor to the people of stress. As I was reading the text, did you notice a word that kept reoccurring? Verse 1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Do you see? Paul says this Christianity is a we thing. Christianity is something that we do together. And what we find as we look at stress is this. Those of us who have close, healthy relationships with other people take a booster shot against distress. Science is showing us what, of course, we knew all along reading the Bible, that having close, connected, healthy relationships with people helps us survive and even thrive during periods of stress, and it does. Had a chance Friday to talk to one of the strongest Christians I know. And we talked for a while, and we talked about how difficult it is that we can't get together with other Christians. We can't come together and worship the way we're used to doing. And at the end of that conversation, she said, I need my people. And you know what? She didn't realize it, but she was telling me why her faith is so strong. Because she gets this we thing. And she knows that she feeds off the faith of other people, and other people feed off her faith, and she wants to be together with these others so that that nourishment can take place. The great sequoia trees of California are among the biggest trees in the world. There's one of those sequoias who has the nickname General Sherman. General Sherman is the tallest single-stem tree that we know of in the world. 275 feet tall, 25 feet wide, and General Sherman has been standing there for 2,500 years. Now you think about that. When Jesus was born into the world, General Sherman had been standing there 500 years, and he's standing there today. Now you'd think that the sequoias, to deal with all the stress they face, wind, storms, lightning, fires, floods, earthquakes. You'd think, man, how deep must that root system be for those trees 275 feet tall to stand all those years through all of those stresses? But the answer is not very deep. Do you know that the roots of the sequoia trees go about 6 to 10 feet deep in the earth, and that's all? But the secret to their strength, especially during stressful times, is their roots intertwine and interlock with the root system of other sequoia trees. These trees grow close together. Their roots interlocked and intertwined. They get nourishment and provide nourishment from each other and for each other. And that has enabled them to stand all of the stresses of the hundreds and the thousands of years, and still they're standing tall. Christianity has been standing for 2,000 years, and there have been many stresses and many strains placed on the church, but here we stand. And one of the keys that we stand is because we get close together, and our lives intertwine with one another, and we nourish one another by our faith, and I feed off your faith, and you feed off my faith. And if we do that during times of stress, we are taking a booster shot against distress. We'll make it if we make it together. I want to close by doing something that I don't normally do. Generally, in this time, these last several weeks, we've closed with prayer. I'd like to close by pronouncing a blessing on you. And you say, well, that's strange. We don't normally do that. Don't worry. It's right out of the Word of God. And this is a blessing, actually, that Paul places on the Thessalonians in the book of 2 Thessalonians. So I hope you will receive this blessing that I want to place on you from the Word of God. And here it is. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.